welcome to West Side Story without Wes. Instead, we've got Amy Vraker. Amy, where's Wes?
Hi, I couldn't possibly comment at this time. There are people investigating Wes's whereabouts, but I would like to be no part of any questioning.
Okay, should we just not talk about him for the next hour or so?
I think that would be good legally. That would
okay,
be great.
Perfect. Yeah. Brilliant. All right. Ed, what's the subject tonight?
We're going to be talking about moving.
Moving?
Why are we talking about moving, Ned?
Because we're moving on. Did she say moving on up or moving on out?
Both.
Yeah, and
it
goes moving
time
on
to
up
break
and
free.
Then moving on out.
I mean, yeah. Up yeah. And out. Where's she off to?
Well, she's breaking free. Right?
Yeah.
Like she's up and flying out the top floor of a
building. Yeah, up and
building.
Out.
Yeah.
Up and out.
Great. Yeah, no, we are. We're moving.
Yeah.
So if we sound a little bit echoey, it's because we've got fuck all left in the flat. We are sat on the floor, as Amy said.
Yeah, it looks like we're about to shoot up.
But we're not.
Yeah,
again,
just to clarify
for
that.
For legal reasons, let's clarify. It's actually quite sweet. I feel like we're either shoot up or we could start a meditation or something.
Yeah,
it's
yoga.
Quite,
yoga
you
feel.
You could definitely turn the heating up and run a hot yoga class in here.
Yeah, maybe we should do that for the remaining 2 days we've got.
Yeah, let's
do make
it.
A fortune.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we thought we'd talk about moving. Because it's timely. Amy, have you moved house a lot in the past?
Do you know what? I've moved... When I was younger, I didn't move that much.
Right.
Every few years. But then since I've moved to Manchester, I've moved quite a lot because you do realise that places are shit really quick, don't
yeah.
you?
Exactly.
Like, you move into a flat. Like, when I first moved here, I was like, amazing, I'm living in Manchester, this is so cool. And then I was like, oh, the window doesn't close.
At
so,
all?
Yeah. No, there what? Was one... The first place I moved into was awful. It was in, like, an... Well, it wasn't that awful for legal reasons. But
I love, like, how legal you're being, isn't it? I feel like you've turned into
like,
a lawyer.
It's because I've had, like, my first glass of wine and I'm, like, since 2018. So, and I keep saying that too. But I feel like I know that I speak about things too much when I've had a drink and I haven't been in this, like, vulnerable position for
okay.
a long time.
Yeah,
well, we'll,
okay.
keep, so we'll, just, keep, we'll keep you in check.
Thank you,
sir. Don't worry.
Please edit this out. Thank you. yeah. So we moved into this flat and it was great, but it wasn't because it was in like this big old house and they hadn't like redone the windows in about 50 years.
Wow.
So there was a genuine like gap and it was
yeah.
actually really cold. And,
yeah.
So, yeah.
So how many times have you moved since you've been in Manchester?
3 times.
In how many years?
3 years.
Yeah.
Wow, what a year.
Yeah.
I have friends who did that. They moved to London and they've been there for 10 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They moved 9 times, so they've moved once a year, and then they decided to buy a houseboat because they were sick of moving to different flats.
Yeah. Yeah, you're always moving then, technically.
Yeah, they have to move every 2 weeks. Bonkers. So I need to go and visit them, actually. Would you live on a houseboat?
Yes.
Would you do it?
I think so. No
I mean, talk
about tax,
freezing. Council tax.
Yeah, apparently
do
you don't. I don't think you have to pay council tax in a boat.
Nice. Ah, maybe that's why. Obviously, it's a lot cheaper than a house as well.
Yeah.
But I think my cousin lived on a houseboat for a bit, and I think they lost a cat while they were there,
oh.
so that would put me off if I had pets.
Yeah, they
but
don't
yeah.
like water cats, do they, really?
Yeah. I mean, what do you do for your post as well? I don't know how that
oh,
works.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
true. I think I might struggle not having, like, a base.
Yeah.
Mm.
Also, are you a good camper? Because I'm not very good at that kind of
no.
basic. I mean, not that a houseboat has to be basic. It could be like an absolute super yacht, couldn't
exactly.
it?
That's what I mean. I'd live on a yacht. Maybe that's what I'm thinking when I'm like, yeah,
yeah.
I could live on a boat.
No,
I'm thinking like, yeah, £1 million yacht, not like on the canals of Manchester.
Yeah.
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 Ed, have you moved a lot?
Yeah, quite a lot. In Manchester, I think 6 times.
6?
Yeah, in maybe... 10 years.
Have you got any horror stories?
I lived above, like, right above a bar.
I mean, that's stupid in itself.
Literally,
isn't it?
Like the window above it. So queue when you get into the flat, you'd literally have to queue in the queue to the club and get a club night.
That's amazing.
You'd have to join the queue to get through your front door.
That's awful.
Because otherwise,
that
you used
awful.
To get a thing if you tried to push people, hey, get out of the queue, we're queuing here, but I'm trying to get into my flat.
Yeah.
So
it's
not
yeah.
ideal.
That's not ideal.
I didn't have to pay an entry fee there to get in.
Well, yeah, apart from your rent.
Yeah, true. True.
I did actually read a quote that said apparently moving house is as stressful as a divorce or a bereavement.
Really?
How are you guys doing?
Great.
I mean, that was a question that I wanted to ask. It's like, is it or is it? Because I like typed in moving because I was doing some really thorough research.
Yeah.
And moving to like Bing or something as well. Right. Not even Google. And it came up like there was loads of these like Mumsnet stories and they were very overdramatic and I feel like it is stressful but is it a bereavement? I mean maybe a divorce but a bereavement seems a bit strong. It's very intense.
I think it's also as stressful as you make it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean we've just kind of done things gradually, we've got rid of a lot of things, sent a lot to charity so then the actual moving weekend hasn't felt so bad and also we get to do it in a weekend.
Easy.
But we are going to be moving twice in a very short space of time because we haven't actually got anywhere to go into, as in like a new lease. So we're going to go back to family for a few weeks when we find somewhere. So maybe that'll be more stressful.
I mean, I'm just still getting over. I'm getting over the comment about it being as bad as a bereavement. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Like someone passing.
Yeah.
For me, it just feels.
I mean,
I don't know, the moving out and just still building, but that's not stress.
The grief, obviously, and the sadness and the upheaval in your life, but I don't know if it's stressful in the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I would feel like getting used to like a family member not being around anymore would be more stressful than getting used to like the fact that that door's there now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a bigger deal.
Or that you have to take your wardrobe apart.
Yeah.
If you're moving your wardrobe.
Yeah.
Not quite the same.
I think, like you say, some people definitely make things harder for themselves by they just love the idea of like being in a difficult position.
Exactly. Yeah.
When actually, like you said, I think I've moved three times since I moved here, and then obviously I was at uni before that, and then you move all the time when you're there.
Yeah.
But I've never found it that difficult.
No.
It's difficult. It's annoying, but it's not like, oh my god, my uncle's dead.
Oh yes,
exactly. Indeed. Do you know? In fact, fun fact: I've not even done the dick death.
Yeah, yet. God, we got right into it.
But fun fact: what do you think is the most popular day to move? What is, and I got this off a removal statistics website.
Now, I don't know if popular is the right word.
Okay, most
like
common
statistically
day.
Statistically common,
What's the day that, because a lot of people can choose when they want to move out, right?
Yeah.
So when you, when your move date will be. So you have like, I don't mean like when your lease is up.
I guess people would plan it, so most people would get paid at the end of the month.
Alright, okay, we're going this route. Interesting.
Okay, this is me trying to apply logic to everything.
I'm just going to like pop in and say 1st of September.
Nice.
I mean like day of the week. No, I mean day of the week.
Oh,
I can tell you what I can tell. No, but I can tell you the specific month as well.
Okay.
You're actually not far off.
Okay.
Move
very, very close.
Friday.
Friday is.
Because then you've got the weekend, and then if you're back in work on the Monday.
Yeah.
It's not double stress and a bereavement and all the rest of it. We shouldn't be laughing about that.
And what month? September, you saying?
I said September, yeah.
I reckon April, spring.
July and August. By a long way.
Oh, actually,
very,
yeah.
Very
popular. Because I guess
times.
If you have a family, if they're off school, that's going to make things a lot easier if you have summer holidays to pack. Okay, yeah.
But August, I mean, 1st of September, you're like a day away. Really, from August. Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Do you want me to do the dick death?
Yeah, I think we should.
Should we?
Totally skips over that. I mean, this is what happens when who shall not be named is missing.
We're
completely
off. We're definitely
going
to edit that out because...
Amy's just eating a crisp before we're doing one of that massive crunches. It's fine.
Moving. Adjective. In motion. A fast-moving river. Is the example we are given. The second example is producing strong emotion, especially sadness or sympathy.
Now maybe that's where the bereavement comes in.
That's very true.
No, because I was on it was definitely about moving out. But I did have a question, but it's a bit of a serious question.
Yeah, go for
it.
What's the last thing you saw, like art wise or like that really moved you?
I've got one.
I have too. I wonder if it's the same thing because we saw it together.
Mine is a real gem. Should I go first?
What, yeah. Like a diamond?
No.
Right.
It took me by surprise when I was moved to a welling of the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been watching The Marvellous Mrs. Maisel?
It is excellent.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Amazing. It is. Oh my God,
I had to do a presentation at work the other day and I felt like I was channeling her.
Honest to God.
I was loving it.
Yeah.
I thought I was funny at one point.
Because I've not done a gig yet this year, because I've not been well, tomorrow night's my first
gig. Oh, is it? Where am I? Yeah. Do you
want to
plug it?
Yeah,
in Stoke.
Stoke, what's the venue?
It's, I don't know the venue, but the name of the, which is great.
just give you Stoke.
I'm just going to get the train to Stoke and then it's called Raffle is the night.
Oh, great.
I haven't done like a proper, it's a really good, I've done a gig there before, it's really nice, really good. I haven't done like a proper gig since I've not been well so far this year. And I'm really excited and I feel like watching that whilst I was sick was the best thing to do ever.
That is great.
Because it definitely got me pumped to like,
She's great, isn't she?
I think it's the Raffle Comedy Club.
It is.
Yeah, that's it.
Is that the venue's name?
That is the Raffle, Comedy Club. Yeah, well, Saturday night.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's a good club.
9th of Feb.
So you were watching Mrs. Maisel?
Yeah, and I don't want to ruin it for anyone listening.
Spoiler alert.
Skip ahead a few seconds. There's a scene in it where she gets on telly. Have you seen this?
Yes.
She gets on telly and her parents finally realise her potential as a comedian.
It is beautiful.
And that bit really got me.
Yeah.
Nice.
It is. Her dad especially, I feel like, is the guy. Yeah. I feel like... I mean, maybe we should be getting, like, some money from Amazon for this, but I feel like the thing that's so brilliant about that series is that every single character is interesting.
Yes, yeah. I said this. I was like, the dad isn't just a grumpy dad for the sake of it. Like, mm-hmm. he's got his entire own shit going on.
And they like, follow through the journeys of everyone else in it. Like, the mum when she elopes.
Yeah.
And, like, all of that stuff is really well done. And, watch it.
Yeah.
Defo. We were saying as well, it's nice to see something that isn't just like another like murder series, like, or something super dark. It's just so easy to watch, but I actually watch it. I don't want to sit and be on my phone while I'm watching it or anything.
Which is
a rare find these days. So yes, a gem.
It was a gem.
Was that the moment you were going to talk about?
No, it wasn't, but I've realised since saying that it wasn't really art or anything. It was also just a TV moment. But there's a lot of... things in the news that have moved me recently, and it was on Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Wow.
You're okay.
When Kim and Kanye took their daughter to the March for Our Lives against gun violence, and it was their reaction, and when they were talking to people in the crowd, and Martin Luther King's...
Granddaughter.
Junior's granddaughter. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s granddaughter gave that speech, and then seeing, like... Kim watching that made me cry. I mean, it wasn't Kim who made me cry, obviously.
Yeah.
It was the speech.
Yeah, let's give it that to the
random. Absolutely. Give it that. But it was on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and I thought, actually, I'm so glad that they're putting that on there, especially with all Kanye's MAGA hat.
Yeah.
You know, they need to balance that shit out, don't they?
Yeah, no, it's really good that at least they're giving some kind of, like, airtime to things that are quite important.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Because the rest of it's fucking shit. Like, like every time I watch it, I get really angry with it. I'm like, wow, what is this? This is another storyline. Like, they're getting really irrelevant.
Yeah.
Do you not think? Like, it's only the Kylie stuff. Again, we're going to get sued, aren't we?
Anyway.
What about you, Amy?
Well, mine is, have you ever watched Mine's Another TV thing?
Oh, God.
Considering we're all in theatre, this is terrible. Yeah. None of us have watched anything good. That's not true. If He Who Shall Not Be Named was here, then he'd have a different thing to say.
Yeah, exactly.
But have you ever seen Tyrannosaur?
No, I couldn't... I think we put it on and then knew what it was about and couldn't handle it that night.
Is it Olivia Colman?
It is. So, because I saw The Favourite recently, which is the new Olivia Colman film, which I think, I mean, she's a queen, isn't she? And she actually is in that. I didn't even do that on purpose. Come see me tomorrow night. but, yeah. And that was brilliant. And through listening to like reviews and stuff about that, a lot of people talked about Tyrannosaur, and I was like, I've never watched that, so I'm gonna watch that now. And oh my goodness, it's excellent. And it's not even like, because I'm never in the mood to watch anything heavy. Like, I'm always like, can we just watch something fun? And my other half is like, this one's got subtitles, and I'm like, please, just watch, like, can we just watch like Jennifer Aniston? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I watched that because I was like, okay. But it wasn't, it didn't feel like an effort to watch, but it was so like rich. Do you know what I mean? And there was so much, it was so emotional and great. It was kind of like the first, it was like, have you seen I, Daniel Blake?
No, for the same reasons of like feeling like it's gonna move me like too much and never feeling quite in the right frame of mind for that.
I think it's one of those things though where I would say my advice to you would be, don't overthink it to that point and just watch it, because the characters are so easy to relate to that it doesn't feel like, it's not a thing that like weighs you down, like when you watch a murder thing or a thing where it's like this horrible trauma and you're like, oh, it's actually quite easy to watch because all the characters are in it are people that you can imagine or that you've met.
Okay.
And so, like, the trauma in it is really kind of easy to take,
right?
If that makes sense. Yeah. But it's definitely, I would recommend it to anyone. It's on, again, on Amazon.
promise you're not sponsored.
Yeah, we're not sponsored. Amazon Prime.
No, Amazon, if you are listening, Mr. Amazon. Then it's like, or Mrs., sorry about that. But he's definitely a man. But yeah, please sponsor
him. Wasn't it him who was, like, being threatened with his nudies?
Yeah, Jeff Bezos.
That's today, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's very current.
Is it Bezos?
Could be Bezos. Bezos.
But wasn't someone just like, well, that's not a threat. Who the fuck would want to see him naked?
He is for he was for extortion. National Enquirer. Because he owns the Washington Post as well. And he writes a lot of, that paper writes a lot of stuff around Trump. Mm-hmm. And National Enquirer is, I can't remember the name of the guy. His name's Pecker, something Pecker. He runs the National Enquirer and his best buddies with Trump. So they write, they try and find disparaging stuff about Jeff. Good old Jeff.
Good old Jeff?
Maybe not.
Just Jeff.
He's the richest man on earth though, isn't he?
Isn't he?
On earth?
Yeah, yeah, in fact.
It's bonkers, isn't it? Can you imagine?
Someone's got to be that guy, haven't they? But wow.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I always think that, like, I don't know if it's because of the times we live in, but I can never imagine being rich enough to not have to think about your next month's rent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, definitely. But also, like, if I was the richest person in the world, I'd be, like, buying stuff all the time, being like, I'm still the richest one, I'm still the richest one, I'm still the richest one.
Yeah, he has
like,
a...
at what point? Like,
yeah.
What's the gap between him and the second person? It must be massive for him to maintain that.
Well, he is worth $130 billion. And Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's a I believe a physicist, said that if you laid Jeff Bezos's $130 billion end to end, it can circle the Earth 200 times, then reach the moon and back 15 times.
This is in dollar bills.
And then, with what's left over, circle the Earth another 8 times.
That is insane.
I think you should do it.
That's $130 billion, yeah,
laid out. Imagine. I don't think I could handle that. I don't think
but
I
could. That's what I mean. I'd, like, want to spend it down a bit. But, like, surely, when he then buys a new yacht, you know, to have a houseboat.
Yeah.
Does it not go down to like 129 billion because he just got the best shot? Is that like his net worth? I don't really know how that stuff works.
No.
Yeah,
but
that's
still, the richest man. Would you not think, oh my God, I have enough money to circle the world and the moon and come back and circle the world again?
Yeah.
Would you not think, like, I should like help some people out that aren't
doing
that?
How much money is enough?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, I'm set for life and like my grandkids' lives.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've still got so much more than that.
Yeah, it's true. Like, the things in the world that he could change with that money.
Yeah.
Because like, end world debt.
Yeah.
World, like, poverty.
And just go... But then, obviously, there's so many political things. Yeah. This has got very serious.
I know,
hasn't
yeah,
it?
I know. I've got some fun facts for you, though.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, but you surely must think about that if you're that rich.
Yeah.
Like, you surely must... I watched Annie the other night. Great musical, by the way. But the only problem I have with it is that the rich guy in it, who's like friends with the president and does all this stuff, like, yeah, he adopts one orphan. But then I think, what? So the end of Annie is that he just adopts Annie. But they
spoiler alert, Amy. Bloody hell.
Oh, yeah, spoiler alert.
Yeah, just in case you've been gunning to watch Annie
and
you've not got around to it. Well,
I mean,
yeah, you have.
I have.
You've experienced
not.
Annie
and
in some form.
If you
right?
haven't experienced it, then as soon as it starts, you'll know that that's what's going to happen.
I mean, I probably would have guessed from the title. I knew she was an orphan, so I probably could have guessed she was going to get.
But I feel like.
Yeah,
so she gets adopted by a billionaire, right? And I feel like that's all really nice, but then is he not like, oh, it's like he's become this normal person now that he's got.
Yeah.
But like, that's one orphan.
Yeah.
Has if you've got £1 billion, you could probably do a lot more than just adopt one child that you like.
Like a country of children.
Yeah.
Country.
Yeah.
You should have been moved more.
Yeah.
To do that.
I like that you're bringing it back. I like bringing it back.
Right, I'm ready for some fun facts.
Yeah, do you want
and then
fun
I'm
going
to get some more wine.
Because obviously we've done moving in terms of emotional and also physical with flats. But I'd had a look to see, considering we do a podcast, what the fastest talking man, given movement through his mouth with words...
What the
is.
Fuck? That didn't make any sense.
So we're podcasters and we talk, right?
Fastest talking man,
well,
given
movement,
words through
right,
his mouth.
I thought moving, like how fast you're talking... How fast your lips are moving.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And we do a podcast, so we talk.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see what the fast. I wanted to see what the Guinness Book of World Record holder was for the fastest talker.
Is it Pharrell?
No, it's not. But why? Why is he
but
a really
I,
fast
I
talker?
I feel like that was like a thing when I was at school that he
really
like
Pharrell
fastest.
Is the one.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Like, what was that song he did where he spoke really quick? Oh no, Eminem.
Oh,
as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, he's pretty fast.
Yeah.
And Scatman is pretty fast.
Yeah,
you
it's
Scatman?
A skill, isn't it?
Yeah.
Go on.
Well, this is John Moschita Jr. He's been credited Guinness Book of World Records as the fastest talker with the ability to articulate 586 words per minute. His record was broken in 1990 by Steve Woodmore, who said 637 words per minute.
Wait, so what's normal? What's average? Just to get that.
That's a great question. When you hear this guy, in fact, we should record audio for it. It's ridiculously fast.
Play it.
I feel like this guy was my Uber driver the other night.
Really?
And it's orientation, biology, psychology, philosophy, political science, Roman studies, physics, visual arts, comparative literature, economics, and football.
That didn't feel that fast. And if that was in 1990, I bet someone's beaten it by now. You'll have like
well,
a cyborg.
Well, that was the original. That was Cheetah Junior.
Well, yeah, my Uber driver the other night, we got in the Uber. It's related,
it
I promise.
Yeah.
And he spoke...
You were in a moving vehicle.
Yeah,
oh,
gosh. A moving vehicle, and the man's mouth was moving. Extreme, like, as soon as we got in, from the point we got in to when we got home, no breath was taken. Like, he was just... I mean, I was worried that he had taken some drugs and that we weren't going to make it home. But he just literally... I think he was talking about... Like, at first he was talking about the roads, and then he was talking about, like... going to France and bringing tobacco back.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, I have no idea what was going on. Me and Steve were just in the back of this taxi like, I don't know. And you know, like every now and then you go, yeah, well, that's what it's like. And then like, honest to God.
He didn't stop.
Yeah.
I wonder if he was just dead lonely. Were you like his first passengers
first,
of
yeah,
the
maybe
day?
His
he
first
wasn't
travels
like,
even.
Oh, hi. Blah, blah, blah. He was like, hello.
Oh, God.
Like, it was so, it was like, so high energy.
Ooh,
it was unbelievable.
Did you, did you downrate him for this?
I mean, it was on Steve's thing, so I don't know. But we did
he
get
didn't
out
disclose
that taxi. We were like, yeah. I was like, what just happened?
Oh, God.
We must have taken in so much information in that 5-minute taxi journey.
Yeah. That's the thing, when people talk fast, it's like when I read fast, I can't actually take it in.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you know what I thought you were going to do when you said about the fastest talking people? I thought you were going to make me and Amy do a competition. I thought you were going to time us to say something and see who was quickest. But there's something you can do at home.
Yeah, time yourself. See if you can beat that record.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That is
a lot.
That is a lot.
637.
It's like tongue twisters, isn't it? Do you do any for your warm-ups?
No.
Do you just have to speak quick? You're no.
I mean, if I'm in like a theatre company and I have to like pretend that I do that kind of thing.
Oh, right.
Then when everyone else is around, I'm like, yeah, let's warm up. But if it's just my show, then no, I don't really do
that. Yeah, and you get a mic as well.
Yeah, exactly. A mic. And I mean, I would make sure that I wasn't...
slurring.
Yeah, or yeah. kind of like coughing, but I don't...
Coughing?
Yeah, but you know
down
what I mean?
Mic.
The worst thing. So I was doing a show last Christmas, and... it was part of a kid's show, and it was like a promenade piece, and so I could hear, I had little headphones in where I could hear where they were and when they were coming in,
mm-hmm.
and I had a mic on as well, and my mic got kind of activated when the curtain came up and it was my time,
mm-hmm.
and I could hear that they were very close to the curtain's opening, and I got that awful thing, you know when you get that thing in your throat where it's like, there's
like
nothing I can do about this, yeah, and it just... I started to try and cough before my mic came on. And I was like, but it wouldn't go. So I was playing like a depressed cracker. It was the peak of my career. I was playing a depressed Christmas cracker. And then the mic was coming on and I was like trying to cough, but then I could start hearing it and I was like, oh, I need to stop. The curtain's open. So I was like trying to swallow back like this cough. But, like, my eyes were streaming.
Oh, God.
So this was meant to be, like, a funny, depressed cracker that was like, I've never been pulled before. Hey, like, one for the parents. Hey. And then, but because I couldn't speak, and every time I, like, said my line, I was like, like that. So I was trying to pick up. It was genuinely traumatizing for the children. The guy that was, like, the narrator that was showing them round instantly saw me and was like, oh shit, you know what I mean? And he was trying not to laugh and I was trying not to cough, so it was like a whole scene I did just incredibly melodramatic.
Yeah, they must have thought
amazing.
It was so method, like word
yeah.
went so deep into that.
Yeah,
like Christmas
sure.
cracker.
Yeah.
And whenever someone else was saying a line, I was like,
oh,
it was awful.
Is that the worst thing that's happened to you on stage?
I think it's definitely one of the... One time, though, I was... talking of movements, I did put down bowel movements.
Yes,
yeah,
great.
So this relates to that.
I feel like this is a theme. This came up last time we podcasted together.
Sorry, I
it's all good.
But one time I was late for a gig, so I assumed, and I texted him and said I was going to be late, the guy that promoted it. So I assumed they wouldn't put me on first.
Mm.
So I like got to the gig, walked in the room and was like, hi. And it was already kind of starting. So I thought, I'm just going to go to the toilet. And as I was doing a poo in the toilet... they introduced me on the stage. And so I had to quickly finish up.
Oh, God.
And run on. I was out of breath from a poo.
Did you tell
the
audience?
Yeah, I did tell
the audience.
Amazing.
It was a great gig in the end, but my God, that was, yeah. That's probably, that
yeah,
and the,
that's intense.
The depressed cracker was probably the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My trousers split right up the bum on stage and everyone saw my ass. That was fun.
What did you do to resolve that, though? Didn't you do a tie, like a...
I just grabbed a blanket in the wings and just tied it around my waist for the final... Luckily, it was towards the end of the show. Yeah, I just tied it around my waist and just pretended it had been there all along. It was an absurdist piece anyway, so, no, you know,
yeah.
whatever. But yeah, it was a bit mad. There was this bit where we all kind of dropped to our knees. And I heard this, like... And then I felt the breeze, and I didn't have very appropriate underwear on. I was just like, oh, fuck.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then after that, the poor, like, costume student who'd made it was so devastated.
Oh.
And I just wore, like, a full-on, like, long john romper suit underneath it, underneath my costume from then on. That was awful. I don't think too many people noticed, but potentially 350 people saw my ass.
I think I've had a few people try and make me laugh. Like, my friend used to try and make me laugh a lot, and that was awful. Because you can make it part of the thing, can't you, I guess?
Yeah. With stand-up, that's probably...
With stand-up, it's fine, but when you're doing a show where you're, like, talking about something serious, but you've done it 7 million times, so you're all like, let's make this interesting, and someone does something to make you laugh, and your line is, 1 in 6 people die of cancer, you know what I mean? Like, probably not appropriate to have a little giggle in the middle of that scene, is it? Do you know what I mean?
Have you had hecklers before? Have you ever had to handle how do you... I've always found that fascinating because that's got to be intimidating on your own on a stage.
Well, I think...
someone shouting you at
it. Yeah, but then you've got to remember that they're in the audience and you're on the stage.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, you're in control. But one of my worst hecklers was my dad.
What?
Thanks, Dad. Bloody hell. Well,
the thing is, I'm sure he'll never listen to this, so it's fine. We've not had the greatest relationship ever.
Right.
And then he came to one of my stand-up gigs, and a lot of my material is about, my dad abandoning me.
Right.
Awkward to start with. But when he got there, I was like, maybe I'll leave that material out. But he was being a bit of a twat, so I was like, I'm going to keep it in. So I got up on stage, and he heckled, and I was like, that's my dad. And, that's a joke that everyone makes, oh, hiya, mum. But I was it's actually my dad.
Yeah.
And then I just did loads of jokes about him being a really terrible father. The best moment in my life, and the audience liked it, but it was awful afterwards.
How did he react? Did he speak to you afterwards?
Afterwards he was kind of like, fair play. He turned up really drunk to a gig, the first time he's ever kind of come to anything, and so I think he knew that was fair, and it was kind of like he bought me a drink afterwards and was like, fair enough.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other hecklers, I was saying earlier, actually, I had one guy was walking on stage once and he said, get your tits out. And that was like one of my first ever gigs. And the compere jumped in and kicked him out, which was lovely.
Yeah.
But I also felt like, I wish I'd been able to handle that situation.
Yeah.
But now, the other day I did a gig and someone shouted, because I talk a lot about reproductive issues.
Yeah.
And someone shouted, "Whip it out!" And they were talking about my womb.
You
were. Did they study biology? Well, this is what I said. I was like, and I was like, but maybe that's progress from get your tits out to whip your womb out.
Oh God.
But I was like, I don't think I'm going to take your advice, drunk woman on a Tuesday night.
It was a woman.
Yeah.
She should know a lot better.
That's what I did. And I was like, I'm probably going to take another opinion.
Oh, like have an operation?
Yeah.
Oh, not like flash it.
No. She wanted me to get a hysterectomy. That's what she was asking.
I thought you meant like whip it out as in show us.
No.
Oh, whip it out.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
I know. Big bit of advice to give in a heckle.
Yeah. No, isn't it? That's not really a heckle, is it?
No.
Yeah. Especially if your doctor consults you, it's just like, well, we're going to whip it out.
We'll whip that one out for you then. I didn't feel like it was sound medical advice.
Yeah.
I didn't take her up on it, to be honest.
Bloody hell. Did you have some more fun facts for us?
Yeah, I did. Do you want to know what the fastest fish on earth is?
I've always wanted to know.
Thank you for putting a fish fact in. Do you know this, Amy? Do you know that I've got a weird thing about fish?
It
sometimes comes up on the podcast. I'm just dead fascinated by them, and I always have been.
That's weird.
I was a kid, we used to go to the market, and I would just stand and stare at the fish counter. And I still do it now a little bit, don't I? I can't stand eating them.
Oh, really? I love fish.
Same.
But I'm just fascinated by them. They're just aliens in the sea.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. It's very weird. The sea's a weird world.
It is a weird world. Okay, the fastest fish.
The fastest fish.
I feel like I should know this.
Fastest moving fish.
Is it called a cheetah fish?
Fastest moving
fish. Because that would be the best thing ever.
Also, as opposed to the fastest non-moving fish. Yeah.
It's the sailfish. The sailfish is the fastest fish in the world and able to swim at a speed of, guess, miles per hour.
47 miles per hour.
35 miles
Maybe
per
faster.
Hour.
Yeah. If you're listening, this is your chance now to text a friend. Don't Google it.
Maybe it's even faster. Maybe it's like 70.
Okay. Have you got all your answers? You think 70 miles an hour?
Yeah, I'm going to go
Amy, high. Final answer?
61.
I love that you're dragging me up high.
It's 68 miles per hour, so you get it. But
that's bonkers. That's like national speed limit, isn't it?
It's pretty
fast. On the motorway,
it's very
that's
fast.
That's actually insane, really.
That is
it's
insane.
It's crazy. The second fastest fish is the marlin. And the marlin can swim up to how many miles per hour?
45.
Amy?
59.
Listeners, you've got your opportunity to write it down.
Oh God, no one's writing it down.
50 miles per hour. That is still a pretty fast fish.
But think how much the sailfish has got on top of that.
Yeah.
68.
So does the sailfish never get eaten then? Because it can just swim faster than...
That's a good question.
Hey, that is a good question.
Yeah. Yeah, it's up there.
Unless it accidentally swam into the mouth.
I'm a whale.
I wonder, it might not be like, it depends on its 0 to 60, doesn't it?
Mm.
Like, maybe it takes an hour to get that fast.
Yeah.
It's seriously fast.
What's its horse brake power?
And did you know that snails, actually, they've done studies to say they're not as slow as people think.
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who does these studies?
So they use something called slipstreaming.
Excellent.
So it's a technique that the snails have worked on called slipstreaming.
Haven't worked on it, Ed. They definitely haven't.
I mean, when you know what slipstreaming is, they've definitely done something. So what they do is the snail sets the pace, and it obviously excretes like a slime.
The snail's just doing, like, being a snail.
Doing
its
thing.
It's not doing any of these.
But then other snails get on that slipstream and then can travel faster off of the slime.
Genius.
Of the
it's
snail.
Like a toboggan, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. See?
A toboggan. It's
but
a sled.
A snail must have looked at another snail.
It didn't think it or look at it. It's just evolution.
No, but it must have instinctually gravitated towards the slipstream of its friend, got on it, and then realised it could move ever so slightly
I wonder
faster.
If it started as a sexual thing, or if it...
Yeah.
Or if it's
quite
like
possibly.
Because, like, why... Surely there's, like, pheromones or something that it's drawn to in the slipstream.
Stop saying slipstream.
Slipstream.
Do you know that snails use about 40% of their energy producing that slime?
40%? 40%. What's the equivalent of 40% of human energy?
Maybe our moving.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe a bereavement.
A moving house.
Yeah.
Like, why do they produce it, though? This is getting so snaily. Do they have to move on it, or does it just... Like, what's it for?
I imagine that they have to... use it yet
it's not a byproduct
because they
is
must
it?
Glide they must have to use slime to like glide across floor and like gravelly surfaces
they need
slipstream.
It slipstream it's funny
but they must have to like do that so it's comfortable to because I mean I'm not gonna say what I was gonna say
go on
imagine right
imagine wriggling around
imagine,
on gravel
imagine like trying to move across gravel on your like organs not organs but
your
know.
Foot they call it the foot don't they no it's true
so but they produce it from their front foot and it's a mucus
they only have one foot
they've got feet they class them as feet
I thought it was called a foot
no I think it's I think I was
I'd like to know where their sexual organs are
Of course you would.
When I was actually saying earlier, like imagine moving across the ground, I like was imagining.
Dragging
like,
yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Exactly. So dragging you'd need yourself. A bit of slime then, wouldn't
well,
you?
Well, yeah.
So they've got muscles on the underside of their feet, and it's a mucus that comes out of the front foot, and apparently it's not to help them necessarily move faster, but it helps them relax their muscles when they're on vertical surfaces.
Yeah. Oh, vertical.
Interesting.
There you go. learnt something.
And can you answer Amy's question, please?
Where the sexual organs are?
Yes, please.
Let's have a look.
Oh, this reminds me of something I heard about snails. Did you know that it's something like 99.9999999% of snails, their shells spiral all the same way? And then the tiny percentage of snails whose shells spiral the other way, I can't remember if it's clockwise or anti-clockwise, can only mate with other snails who do that. So it's really, really rare for them to find a mate. Wow. And these scientists from across the world like found them and then tried to get them to mate, but they couldn't. And then another one came along and they both mated with the new one, and then they could carry on their little backwards spiral snail shell species.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But imagine if that was what it was like for humans. Like, you could only mate with other people with, like, blonde hair. Do you know what I mean?
God, yeah.
But I guess there's not that much rare things. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, imagine you had to be, like, almost like a twin. Like, the same height, yeah. The same hair colour, eye colour. I mean, that's getting into, like, racial... what was the thing that Hitler did?
Profiling, is it? No, that's...
No, what was it called?
Ethnic cleansing.
Yeah, let's not.
That's not.
So, reproductive organs of a snail, they are considered to be hermaphrodites. They have both male and female reproductive organs.
Yeah.
And they will lay snail
gender
eggs.
Neutral.
Yeah.
Either in dirt or behind. or behind a rock.
Interesting.
There you go.
So
thought the snail just eyeing up the rock. Lay my eggs over there.
Have you ever, like, found something when you move in that you thought you'd lost or that you'd forgotten that you owned?
Yeah. I love finding things. Like, I used to have, like, when I was little, I used to have a little book of poetry. And that was,
your,
like...
Your poetry?
Yeah, my poetry.
Oh, nice.
When I was, like, 10. And it was, like...
You should have brought that and read
some
out.
I don't know where it is now. This
prepped.
Was when I first moved, like, at home with my mum. And it's, I hope she still has it. It's like this little book of poetry, but it's so ridiculous. But I feel like it's probably on par with a lot of the poetry scene right now. But it's, you know, it's like, my nana. And then it's like a poem like, my nana likes cake, and I like to see her face. And it's like really bad rhymes. Or like, I love my mum. She's never glum. And like,
just remind me, it wasn't a book that I lost, but I had to write a poem like that at school, and the only rhyme I could come up with for my mum was, my mum weighs a ton. Which obviously she doesn't. And I remember, like, taking it home and her being like, a little bit offended. I was only about 10.
I mean,
her being,
I'd
like,
be offended.
Super offended,
yeah.
And me being like, what? It rhymes. And she was like, it doesn't even rhyme. Yeah, sorry, mum.
That is awful.
Isn't it horrendous?
Yeah, no,
and me
it
just
is.
Being like, wow. Yeah, have you ever lost anything, found anything, forgotten anything? I mean, the things that I found in your pockets while we've been moving.
Yeah.
Just receipts from like 10 years ago.
Me and my dad found like a World War II bayonet.
What?
Yeah.
What?
We did.
Where?
What?
What?
So in fairness, this was moving from my granddad's house.
Right, okay.
So we had to move when we were moving his stuff. But yeah, he had a bayonet that was from World War II.
Was it
We've
his?
Still got it.
Was it his?
We still got it. And it's like completely rusted on the outside.
Yeah. Wow.
But then when you open it, it looks perfect. It's crazy.
Where is that, at their house?
Yeah.
Where we're moving?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's really... Well, old.
Well, yeah.
I don't know if it was used on anyone. I didn't think that far.
Oh, God.
Have you guys found anything during this move that you've forgotten about? Or
just clothes, really, that I'm like, and then I'm like, well, why do I own it if I don't even know I own it?
Yeah.
So that's been quite good, actually. I've not been doing this, the Marie Kondo thing all over everything, like... But it is good. It is like, it has made me realise I don't need to buy any new things. I've definitely got enough, and I've definitely got more than enough.
Have you seen that, on that, is it Marie Kondo?
Yeah.
So it's about cleaning your house. Have you seen that they've started to do it now with your phone screens and your phones?
Yeah.
So there's a whole digital well-being.
Which I've always had, and you have always laughed at me for putting all of my apps in folders very neatly and not having anything on my home screen, because you're like, you can't access it, but it's very, very stress-free.
So the
The
idea is that any apps that you don't use, you get rid of. And you can track what stuff you use the most. Get rid of anything that you don't use.
Yeah.
Like Nad's saying, you put it all into folders. And the main thing is that you the first thing you look at on your screen should be your wallpaper.
Yeah, that's what mine
icons
is.
Of apps.
And I have to swipe right to even get the apps.
Yeah.
There's also a new app that does that for your Twitter, the people you follow on Twitter. So it will basically go through, there's an algorithm that'll show the tweets and things that you actually care about.
Mm.
Right.
And then it will automatically unfollow people that you don't interact with and shouldn't be following, and then let them know as well.
Wow.
But then I feel like I kind of, sometimes I interact with people, but I don't interact with like Piers Morgan, but I kind of like
you
want to
know
tweet.
What he's up to.
Yeah, I want to be outraged
with
everyone else.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't want him to be taken away. Which you probably would be.
And it's probably a bit too much when it's all
I
just being done for you.
And you can get into an echo chamber then, can't you? Where
it's like,
oh, well, you like this,
so
you should follow this, or hear this person's views.
I had a thing today which was, somebody tweeted, today's hashtag FF is, and I was part of the list of people, and I didn't know what hashtag FF meant.
Follow Friday.
Yeah, see, thank you, but it took me a while to work that out.
Yeah.
My friend was like, maybe it's favourite females. And I was like, oh my God,
it's
so
good.
And then
it
I was like,
now.
No,
it
it's
now.
Not that. But I find, like, I use Twitter the least out of... Well,
social.
I try and use it enough, and I get tagged in things, and I try and use it, but I find it the most difficult because I feel like it's the most removed thing. Like, Facebook and Instagram feels quite personal, whereas Twitter feels really... I tweet about work things.
Yeah.
I never really tweet about like
what
I'm doing on a daily basis.
Yeah.
There you go.
Moving does make me think about who's been in a place before and who will come after as well. Like, that feels very, very like pertinent. Whereas when you like just live in somewhere, you kind of
especially
just
when you like go and view somewhere and you see it how other people have it.
Yeah, I was so conscious of
of
what was on display when they came to take pictures of our flat.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
I feel like I remember moving into the house I was in now and being like, this isn't how I'm going to have it. But also being like, this is clearly... like somebody else's entire life is in this
it's
house,
weird,
and
isn't
it's
it?
Weird to
how
think
they interpret
that,
it and what they want. They want their like their
but
home
that,
to
but
be.
But that's a culture that we just like have a complete view into that, and it's on the internet for everyone to see. It is odd. It
like
is really
because me and Steve at the minute are looking at like buying possibly, and we're looking at houses, and and it's really hard. And I know everyone always says like you should look at things like. Imagine there's nothing in the
room.
Look
past the wallpaper.
But it's really hard to do that when the wallpaper's hideous.
How much do you judge someone?
I'm like, the only houses I'm like, that's nice, are the houses where it's just like fully renovated.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I'm like, there's
hard.
Nothing in there. And I'm like, we could move into that place.
I feel like I'd be like that. Like,
yeah.
I could deal with everyone's shit everywhere. Like,
and
just
everyone else's kind of...
bad taste.
I'm okay doing a few little bits, but I'd like to move into somewhere that's pretty much ready to just kind of make your own.
Have you got any closing statements? All I can think of is the slipstream.
Yeah, the snails.
And how a snail moves.
And their feet.
Which is actually totally relevant. It's about moving.
Yeah,
I'm just
definitely.
There's nothing to say about it other than it's just very vividly in my mind.
I would say if anyone's looking to sell a house in the
area, well renovated,
then please get in touch.
Great. Yeah, that's a good one. Advertise, why not? Not advertise, the other way around. Call out.
Yeah.
Call out.
Yeah.
Ed?
I'm still working out whether a bereavement is as bad as moving. Like,
I think
it's stuck with me.
Yeah.
That's distracting me from the moving.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about
God.
As in, I probably won't be that sad moving because I'll just be thinking, is this as bad as a
belief? Someone dying? Yeah. Yeah, and it's definitely. Well, then you'll get through the move really well. Yeah, you'll be like, this is definitely better than if someone was dead.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
and on that note, thanks for listening. This has been West Side Story. We will see you on the other side when we have moved, and hopefully, Wes himself will be back.
Yeah.
No comment.
Gotcha.
And don't forget to subscribe as well.
Oh yeah, subscribe, like, to the share, podcast. Subscribe, all
do,
that shit. We
do
forget
share
that.
Where you can, and
share where you can.
Yeah, make sure you give us a good review. You feel free to write a review.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be nice. You could tell us about your moving stories.
Tell us about how you feel about the new kind of person in the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, give us some feedback. Or if you've got some houses to show us, you could probably leave in some.
Yeah. Let's just turn it into Gumtree, shall we?
Currently, Chorlton's a very popular area.
Right. Thanks for listening. This has been West Side Story. Good night.